This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Governor John Hickenlooper may want to limber up the hand he writes with. There are some big bills waiting for his signature. Civil unions, for example, and three of the Democrats' gun control bills. CPR State Capitol reporter Megan Verlee joins us for our weekly check-in. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Ryan.
Let's start with the gun bills. Three of them, as I said, are going to the governor's desk. Among them, one to limit the size of ammunition magazines, another charges a fee for background checks. Governor Hickenlooper is committed to signing these. Where in the process are the rest of the gun bills?
Right. So when we talked last week, there were seven Democratic gun bills in play. Today, the chamber has actually got finished working on a third measure in addition to the two you just mentioned, the one that would require universal background checks. It got its final votes in both the House and Senate today after a conference committee hammered out a compromise on differences between the two chambers' versions of the bill. Two more are Senate bills, so they still have to be debated in the House. One of those would require domestic abusers give up their guns, and the other would mandate some in-person training for concealed carry permits. And finally, two of the bills actually died last Friday before the full Senate could vote on them. They didn't have enough support to pass, and Democrats didn't want to give Republicans another opportunity to rail against them. One of those would have banned concealed weapons on college campuses, and the other would have created new liabilities for the makers, sellers, and owners of high-powered rifles. So the scorecard right now is three bills passed, two halfway through, and two off the table entirely.
The gun control debate seems to be spilling out of the Capitol and into other arenas. For instance, there's the accusation made by the El Paso County Sheriff, this is Terry Makeda, that Senate Democrats are holding back a pay increase for county-level officials, including sheriffs, as a way of punishing the sheriffs for opposing the gun bills. Makeda made that claim on the Jeff Crank radio show over the weekend, saying he first heard about it in an email from the head of the Sheriff's Association. Let's listen to a bit of that.
Basically, in that email, it said, sheriffs, the Senate majority leadership, the Dems, are very upset with your testimony and opposition on the gun bills. They are stating that basically we should reconsider our positions to gain a more favorable light for salary support from the Dems.
What do you know about these charges, Megan?
It's a bit of a he said, he said. The man who sent Makeda that email, Chris Olson, head of the sheriff's group, told a local TV station that he didn't mean for the email to sound like Democratic leadership was holding sheriff's salaries hostage. But I talked to Makeda, and he feels there's really no other way to interpret those emails. You can read some of the messages on Makeda's website, and from my reading of them, it sounds like a lot of speculation has been going on between the sheriffs as to why Senate President John Morse won't give permission for a salary increase bill late in the session. None of the emails mention the name of any specific lawmaker who's actually suggested a quid pro quo, and Morse, for his part, is denying the allegation and attacking Makeda for making it.
He accused me of committing a felony on the radio, and he knew it was false. I mean, this is a political stunt of the 10th order of magnitude. It's not something that should be tolerated ever.
A felony, as Morse describes it, because this kind of quid pro quo could be considered unlawfully trying to influence a public official. So why does Morse say he's blocking the salary increase?
Morse says the economy is still too weak to require counties to increase the salaries for their elected officials. And he's not sounded supportive of raising lawmakers' salaries either, I should say. One thing that's interesting here is that both he and the House Speaker have said they'd only allow a salary increase bill to be introduced if it had support from Republican lawmakers. Morse actually said the bill would have to have the support of half the Republicans in the Senate. I tried to ask about a half dozen Republican lawmakers this week if they would sponsor a bill raising local official salaries, and only one of them said yes. So while some sheriffs may feel the Democrats are standing in the way because of their opposition to gun control, their push for a salary increase doesn't look like it would find much favor with Republicans either.
And just to clarify, the reason the Senate president has so much power in this situation is that this late in the session, lawmakers need to get permission from him or the House Speaker to introduce a bill at this point.
Exactly. And I should say, this isn't the only way in which the gun control debate has increased tensions outside the Capitol. There are groups starting recalls against some of the gun control supporters, including President Morse and Representative Mike McLaughlin, who's a freshman Democrat. There are also two efforts now underway to put measures before the voters next year overturning the ammunition magazine size limit. And if those do get on the ballot, it could be interesting to see what kind of impact they may have on voter turnout in 2014. And finally, once any of these gun bills are signed, legal challenges will likely start immediately. Right now, Senate Republicans are seeking a legal opinion from Attorney General John Southers, who's also a Republican, about whether or not that magazine size limit bill is constitutional. I asked the House Speaker about that, and he pointed out that John Southers does not have veto power.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're checking in with CPR's Megan Verlee, who covers the state capitol for us. I understand Democrats are preparing to introduce a package of bills that have to do with oil and gas regulations.
Yes, leading Democrats say these bills could be introduced as soon as next week. It's not clear exactly what the package will entail, but they're describing the bills as addressing public health. And the phrase local control has also come up, which means Democrats might want to give more power to cities like Longmont and Fort Collins that don't want oil and gas development within their limits. If these bills tackle any of those areas, it's going to be a giant fight. Industry has really tried to keep the regulatory process confined to the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which they say has the expertise to set these kinds of requirements. So companies are going to go to the mat if the legislature starts trying to put more restrictions in place. This could put Governor Hickenlooper in a really tough situation as well, since he's been very supportive of oil and gas development and has not been arguing for strengthening the rules beyond what the COGCC is doing.
A tough position for him because he belongs to the same party that'll be introducing these tougher regulations. Megan, let's wrap up with something I mentioned at the start, and that's the civil unions bill, which passed this week.
Yes, after three straight years of trying by Democrats. I was unable to actually attend the vote, but I hear it was a very emotional morning, especially for the legislature's eight openly gay lawmakers. Five of them say they will seek civil unions themselves as soon as the policy becomes law. And I went and talked to Senator Jesse Ulibarri to see what he's been thinking this week. He's a freshman from Commerce City, and I actually first met him when he came to testify in favor of civil unions 2 years ago. He said that this week has been surreal.
As soon as it happened, my partner and I were texting. I was unfortunately on the floor of the Senate and couldn't celebrate, but we exchanged text messages really quickly, and then we've been celebrating all week. And I actually have slept better knowing that, you know, my kids are going to be protected with civil unions as soon as it moves forward.
Well, this is a huge milestone for Colorado's gay community. It's actually behind the cutting edge of the national conversation, where you have the Obama administration speaking in favor of gay marriage and the Supreme Court considering whether to strike down opposite-sex only marriage laws. I spoke with a number of civil union supporters over the course of reporting on this bill, including one of the sponsors, who said that passing civil unions is important, but it is far from the end of the fight.
Well, Megan, thanks for being with us.
And thank you, Ryan.